This is Single and Probably Asexual with Kendra Kay.
Hello. Well, this is my story. I apologize if I take some breaks here and there just to kind of think about what I want to say. I have some bullet points written down, of course, but I was never one for academia and I did not go to college, so bullet points are kind of my jam, and winging it off the cuff is also my jam. You know, our stories are very personal, they're very vulnerable, they're very real, and I find myself at an incredibly, incredibly raw time in my life right now. Raw in very beautiful ways, and then raw in very, very hard ways. But I am excited to share my story with you all and kind of give you a little bit of a background on who I am and why I'm starting this podcast. So, as I've mentioned in my intro episode, my name is Kendra Kirscher. I am a photographer. I am a dog mom. I am single. I am demisexual. I'm probably asexual. I live in a van that I self-converted myself with the incredible help of my mother and father. And I am 30 and I love my life right now. I love my life. As I said, it's a very raw time in my life, but I know some beautiful, 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 beautiful things are just right on the horizon for me. And I'm looking forward to what my future is going to bring me and what my business is going to bring me and potentially what this podcast is going to bring me. And of course, hopefully others. I started my business at a really young age. I started taking photos when I was 18 and, you know, collecting cash payments at 19. Really starting my business at the age of 21 and then legally having my business around the age 24, 25. So I've been in business for myself for over a decade and, full time for close to 5. And I can't tell you how privileged I feel that I can make money on my own and live on my own and live in a way that feels authentic and real for me. Live in a way that's also conducive to my mental health, my depression, and my anxiety. 9-to-5s always terrified me. I mentioned this in my earlier or in my last episode, but I did not go to college. I have a high school diploma and I did a little bit of community college after high school and thought this is absolutely not for me. I'm just going to work and see what's going to happen. And thankfully, photography stepped into my life a little bit more firmly then, and I realized that I could make money doing this. I have the talent. I just have to have the tenacity and the drive. And let me tell you, if you do not have the tenacity and the drive, it's going to be really difficult to make a business work for yourself. Even up until 2020, so I was close to being in business for around 10 years. I guess it's 2022, so maybe I've been doing this for 12 years now. Anyways, but even up until 2020, there were moments where I was like, I can't do this. I'm done. I'm going to find a 9-to-5. I'm going to possibly go back to school or just go to school. It's a lot. It's difficult, but it's also very rewarding. And again, I am incredibly proud of myself for where I've gotten in my business, but it has not been the easiest journey. I had this funny realization not too long ago. My good friend Maggie and I were talking and kind of like looking at my life in this broad way. And I kind of made this realization with the help of my friend that I'm a boudoir photographer who is practically celibate, not for religious reasons, just because I think I identify as probably asexual. And for those who are asexual, you don't have a high sex drive. And I'm also a wedding photographer who is perpetually single. And I don't know if there's some weird subconscious thing happening in my universe, in my world, that made me become a boudoir photographer who's celibate and a wedding photographer who's single. I could tell you that I'm really grateful for being both photographers, but there are times where it actually can be a little difficult, especially photographing weddings and seeing the joy and the love. Sometimes I'll get a little sad and it'll remind me of what I don't have in my life and what I haven't really had in my life. And boudoir is just, it's home for me. I started photographing boudoir more seriously about 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago. And when that came into my life, I was reinvigorated within myself, within my business, and within me as a photographer. And having boudoir in my life has definitely changed my life forever. It's made me see myself differently. It's made me love and appreciate my body in a new and beautiful way. And the fact that I can not only share photos that make other people feel great about themselves, but what I can do for my clients is just, it's beyond what I ever thought I could ever do for people. And I am so grateful to have people tell me that I have helped change their lives and change the way that they operate and they show up in the world and change the way that they view themselves, change the language that they use on themselves and to others. It makes me truly feel like I am doing good work in this world. And if I were to die tomorrow, I would have this legacy of making people feel worthy and making people feel loved and seen and powerful and sexy and strong in their own bodies and in their lives. And just knowing that makes me feel that I have already made it in life. Being able to offer that and be a vessel and a conduit for people to see themselves differently and love themselves in a new way. It blows my mind, and it to this day it makes me speechless. It really truly does. Being a millennial and going through quite a lot within this world, economically, socially, politically, everything, I found myself living in a van. And I found myself living in a van for many reasons. But a big one was rent is expensive. And as someone who does everything on her own, pays for everything on her own, it got to me, and I wanted to get out. I wanted to get out of the system. I wanted to get out of the lull that I see so many people stuck in. And again, I'm blessed to be able to do my job anywhere. So that was a big factor in me making this decision to live in a van. And I've been in my van for close to a year and a half now, and I have no regrets. It's one of the single best decisions that I have ever made in my entire life for myself. And I see myself doing this for the long haul. I see myself doing this for at least the next 3 to 4 years, possibly even getting a new van, creating a new home, a new space that kind of fits my needs more so in the future. I'm so excited to be doing this. And as hard as it was to make the decision to do this, especially as a solo woman on the road, and building it out myself with the help of my parents, it was very daunting, but it's a decision that I will never ever regret. And I'm so excited to grow old and be able to look back on this time of my life and say, you know what? You fucking did it. You made that house. You created a life. You created a life more in sync and more in line with your authenticity and what you wanted to do. And to feed and nurture this insatiable desire that I have to travel and meet new people and learn and grow. And I don't think I've ever been happier than I am now living in this van. With all of these things that are happening in my life, living solo, living in a van, getting out of the system, getting out of rent, getting out of capitalism and as much as I can, honestly. And my business, creating a business for myself, for my life. Everything that I have ever done and chose to do in life has been to help alleviate my mental health. I first knew that I had depression when I was really young. I think I was always kind of, I was a happy baby and a happy kid growing up. And I think at one point it just kind of changed. And I really made the realization that I was fully depressed at the age of 14. And ever since then, it has been a battle. It has been an uphill battle. And there are days and months and years that will be good, and some of them will be bad. And it's just always changing. But I am proud of my resilience and my determination to change certain things in my life to help alleviate my anxiety and my depression. I hated working. I hated working for other people. I hated having a boss. I hated people telling me what to do. I still do. And I think it was really beginning to wear on me and my depression, especially when I would come home from working and I would just feel a wreck, or I'd come home crying, or I'd hop in the car and I'd cry leaving work. I knew it wasn't conducive to my mental health and to my life. And I think that's when I had the idea that I could really truly be a photographer and I could make money off of this and I could make a living. And although I know it was going to be incredibly hard, especially having my mental health issues, my depression and my anxiety, it still affects my business today at times. I have gotten a lot better, but that's just because time and repetition, they'll make you great at something. But I started my business because I needed to create a life that was conducive for me, not feeling the way that I was feeling outside of, you know, my normal depression and my normal life and my normal anxiety, but within work and within having a boss and all of these things that it didn't work for me. The anxiety, personally for myself, kicked in a little bit more when I actually did start my career, my photography journey. And, you know, it's expected because every day I have to wake up, and if I don't do anything, I will not make money. I will not be able to survive. I will not be able to live. I don't rely on anybody for income or anything like that. I pay my way. I pay my health insurance. I pay my car insurance. I bought this van and built this van with cash. I have no debt. I have to really forge my own path. And let me tell you, every time I raise my prices, I do get panic attacks. But it's hard to be able to make those decisions for you, especially when you have depression and anxiety telling you that no one's going to pay for your new prices or your new rates, or you're asking too much. Those thoughts swim in my little brain and my little subconscious and my conscious mind all the time. And it's definitely not easy building your own business and running your own business when you have things like depression and anxiety that hold you back a lot in life. That depression and that anxiety also bleed into other aspects of my life. Although I do love being single, I have been single for most of my life, and I don't think I want to be single forever because it is lonely and it can be lonely. And growing up feeling a lot of isolation and loneliness, feeling that all throughout my 20s as well, it's definitely not something that I want to continue to have with me forever. And like I mentioned earlier, being in this really raw, vulnerable state of my life right now, I feel like I am coming to terms with everything, my past, what my future is and what my future could be, but also learning to love myself more fiercely than ever before, because I do like being single. Again, I don't think I want to be 80 and single or 65 and single, But for right now, I love my life, and I'm loving my life more because I'm learning to love myself harder and more fiercely than I ever have before. My anxiety is manageable with my business today. I feel like I have gotten myself to a point where I have loyal clients, I have somewhat of a decent following, and I know that I can make ends meet every year. And I definitely can make ends meet every year now living in a van. So the added anxiety of living on my own, paying for rent, an insane amount of rent by myself, that anxiety led me to van life. And as anxiety inducing as it sounds to say, well, I'm going to live in a car by myself with my dog, who, bless his little heart, is not terrifying, not vicious. He does have a loud bark, but he will not hurt a fly. That is scary. And that was definitely stressful. And it, you know, it proved more anxiousness within myself. But having been in the van for over a year and a half now, I can tell you that I have never felt more safe and more comfortable living the way that I am living. As a true crime fanatic, I feel safer in a vehicle than I ever did in a house, in an apartment, especially by myself. As maybe morbid as some of this sounds, but you know, if you're an SSDGM fan out there like myself, then you know that listening to true crime podcasts and stuff like that, it's actually pretty helpful. I feel like I'm prepared if anything were to happen. But being in a van, I can hear everything. If someone's trying to mess with the front door, the side door, the back door, I'll be able to hear it. And for me, that gave me a lot of peace of mind living on my own. It's still obviously scary to be in a car. You feel a little bit more exposed in a way to the outside, outdoors, nature, the elements, and then to people and also predators and animals. But it's absolutely insane how comfortable I feel living in my van. All right, to the nitty gritty. I feel that I am the way I am today for obviously many reasons, but I struggle with love. And it's not just love as in partnerships. I struggle with feeling loved, knowing that I'm loved, entering into relationships where I could fall in love, and just loving myself. I don't know if anybody can relate, but when I got my dog, Zeke, my best friend, and I call him the love of my life, I've never said I love you to anyone or anything more than I have that dog. He has changed my life. But for the first year and a half that I had him, I loved him and I took care of him and everything, but I just didn't feel that love and that connection. And it only makes sense because of my past. Before I go any further, I want to preface by saying that nobody is perfect in life. Everybody is doing the best that they can. And although I feel and I know that I didn't receive things that I needed growing up, I still had shelter and food and a lot more amenities and care than I know most people don't have or grow up not having. I would like to also say that I love my family so much. I love my mom, I love my dad, and I love my brother. And before I go any further, I just want to reiterate the love that I have for them. And also praise that where we started and where we are today is so much different. And although there's a lot more growing and learning on everybody's ends and healing on a lot of people's ends, especially for myself. I couldn't be happier with where I'm at today with my family. When I was growing up, my mother and I had a very, we didn't have the greatest relationship. We didn't talk a lot. Although my mother tried, it was hard for me to speak a lot of the times. I actually went to a therapist once when I was a teenager, and I couldn't talk. And unfortunately, that therapist canceled me as a client because I was unwilling to speak. But that's just something else that is frustrating. But, you know, anyways, my mother and I, we didn't have the best relationship. I was a teenager struggling very, very, very much with my own mental health and my depression. And I, for the longest time, I didn't get what I needed there, with help in that department. And it wasn't until, I talked to my mother and told her how I felt in life, that I felt like an outcast at times, and I looked at all of my friends dating and having partners throughout middle school and high school, and that just wasn't anything that I focused on. When I was younger, the only thing I focused on was the insane amount of pain that I felt in my chest. The only thing I can really relate it to is like heartache. Extreme, extreme, extreme heartache and pain and loneliness and sadness. After having a very open and honest conversation with my mom, that changed the trajectory of our relationship since. She started to help me with my depression and my anxiety, and I started to see therapists, like I had mentioned, and one of them wasn't so great. And then thankfully I was paired up with a therapist that I saw on and off for close to 8 years. That was really, really wonderful. And even when I had those days where I didn't speak, she just sat there with me and didn't tell me I wasn't allowed to come back. It was just really wonderful. So I do appreciate that therapist that I had when I was a teen and getting into my younger adult life. One of the big things that I mentioned to my mother in this letter that I had wrote her was that I never heard my mom tell me that she loved me. For as long as I can remember, I never heard those words. When we would hop off the phone, there was no love you, bye. When I would get home, there was oftentimes no hugs and I love you and how was your day? And I feel that that lack of love and hearing that as a child really, really, really affected me when I was younger. It affected my depression when I came into it, and it definitely, definitely, definitely still affects me today as a 30-year-old woman. And what I've come to realize recently is that this is really hard to say. But what I came to realize recently was that I felt abandoned, emotionally abandoned. And although logically I knew that my mother loved me, I know she loves me so much today, and I know she loved me then, but as a child, I didn't know that. And not hearing that, only seeing an I love you in a Christmas card and a birthday card twice a year, I needed more. I needed more. And a lot of what I am feeling currently in life, feeling very raw and vulnerable and open in a lot of aspects of my life, healing that wound and healing that Kendra who didn't get what she needed is what I'm working on right now. And I'm just very thankful and glad that I've been able to get to this point with the help of friends, with the help of coaches, with the help of mentors who are helping me heal baby Kendra. And again, I just want to preface that I love my mother so much and I love my family so much. And I only say this to just speak my truth and to not put down anybody, because as I mentioned earlier, we all are doing the best we can. And sometimes we hurt people knowingly and unknowingly. And both of my parents, they have their own past. They have their own lives. They have their own journeys where they were not shown and given love. And I understand that. And I don't sit here and blame or condemn my parents or my mother in any way. Like I said, our relationship today is much different. And as I continue to heal myself and show myself and allow myself to feel the love that I wasn't given from my parents, my mom, I understand that this is work that I now need to do on my own. And again, I'm thankful to get to this point and this realization in that. And although as tumultuous as my relationship was with my mother growing up, more so than it was with my father, I mean, I love my dad and he was there, but he worked a lot. And, you know, like I mentioned, everybody has their own past and everybody has their own bandwidth for what they can give to others. And I don't blame any of that on anybody anymore. It's now my turn to make the change and the progress within myself to heal. Having not felt that love has definitely bled into my current life, my adult life. Back in 2017, I lost my best friend to cancer. And processing that, getting through that, has been its own journey as well. My friend Megan was a dear, dear, dear friend to me, and I felt a lot of love from her. And when she was gone, that was really difficult for me. Because when I was younger and a teen and an early adult, I sought refuge in a way from my friends and friends' family that I know no one felt that I could be loved and feel that love. And when I lost Megan, it was hard. It still is hard today, knowing that she's not here. And knowing that someone that had such a positive impact on my life is gone. And I know that she's here with me. I know that she's sitting with me right now in this van with my dog. I know that she sent me Zeke. And I know that she protects me. She protects me. You know, you have those little moments where you think, oh crap, I just almost got in a car accident. And, or, oh, this was just an inch away from me and that could have been really dangerous. And I know that that's Megan. I know that that's my grandfather and my grandmother on my dad's side. I know that those are the people that I no longer have physically in life that are protecting me. And I always just try to remember that and think about that But losing her at in my mid-20s, that rocked my world. And I felt like I had lost a great source of love that I had in my life. Something that was a theme throughout my entire life was the not feeling the love. And when I felt that I had unconditional love from this person, it was very difficult. And my journey of feeling loved, knowing that I'm loved, kind of, it took a pause for a little bit. Grieving that loss is one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. And so today, as 30-year-old Kendra, who has only ever had one relationship, a very, very short relationship, who has never, who knows that she is loved and is trying her damnedest to feel it today. It puts me in this position where I feel that I am kind of in survival mode, and I have been in survival mode for most of my life, I'm coming to realize. And when I am in survival mode, things like, am I loved? Do I feel loved? Can I express love? Simply, they're on the back burner. And I know that's not great. And it is, like I have said, it's something that I'm trying to work on today. And this raw, vulnerable time in my life is, it's going to be pivotal. It's probably it's the climax of my story. And I know once I reach the top, and once I reach this, life in a year, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years, it's going to be a whole lot different. And I'm very much looking forward to that. Feeling alone and unloved and at times an ugly duckling, especially when I have so many gorgeous friends, I kind of put myself in this place of, you are single, you will be single, and you might be single forever, so get used to it, sort of thing. And so I focused on my business. I continue to focus on my business. I focused on the van and creating that life for me. Love is still, relationship love with like a partner is still kind of on the back burner for me, because it is still something that I am working through myself. I need to feel love, know how to give love, and receive and allow love in order for me to be partnered up one day. And many things in my life have kind of put me back in this place where the narrative that nasty person in my head, the bad Kendra, the mean Kendra, the victim Kendra, she wants me to stay there. And when my family happened, when my losing my best friend happened, when getting out of my relationship happened, all of these things, when losing friends happened, when getting into the van happened and not receiving love from friends that say that they love me and are here for me, that's been incredibly difficult. And it's always put me back. There's a motorcyclist. Dirt biker out in beautiful Bend, Oregon. And it's always put me back to this place of, you are not worthy. You never were worthy. You never got that love growing up. What makes you think you're going to get it now? What makes you think you're going to get it in 5 years? This person who has completely stopped talking to you or feeling like they've cared about you, you deserve that. That's how I feel. And that's the negative Kendra, that's the victim Kendra, that's the past Kendra, that's the hurt Kendra. And with that, I have been single for most of my life for those reasons, because I feel and have felt that I am not capable and worthy of being loved. It's also why I have over-excelled in my career. It's to get praise and it's to get love that way because I never knew what it was like to just be given that love, especially from those, your family, who are kind of supposed to give it to you. And when I mention family, it extends past just my mother and my father and my immediate family. We're kind of a big bunch of weirdos, and I didn't really have a lot of love felt from others in my family, just aside from my parents. So that narrative has really, really, really stuck with me. And has just told me over and over again that your family can't love you. Your family never has loved you. And this is where you're at in life. This is where you will always be in life. And so, as awful as that is, I'm also very, very grateful for everything that has happened to me. The lack of love that I felt growing up, the loss of my friend, these are all things that needed to happen to me to get me to this spot right here and right now. That I can tell this story, that I can share my story with the hopes and anticipation of beautiful, beautiful, long-lasting growth. And as my life has taken the turn of being single and being far different from many of my friends who are either partnered up, they are married, they have kids, they are dating. I'm glad that all of these things have happened because if they didn't, I don't know if I would be a photographer. I don't know if I would be living out my dreams, owning my own business, living nomadically, building a tiny home that I feel so safe and comfortable in. All of these things probably wouldn't have happened. Had my life been any differently, had I felt and was given that love that I needed and was, God, frankly, obligated to receive. But with all of that, I stand here knowing that who I am to my core, this insane amount of strength that I possess, and determination and power. I am so happy for it all because I think I'm pretty fucking badass, if I do say so myself. And people don't always get there with an easy past and with easy living and having things given to them or having the support of a partner who helps you get to these places. I've done everything myself. I have done every single thing myself. I'm a self-taught photographer. I'm a self-taught entrepreneur. I taught myself how to build this van, again, with the incredible help mostly of my father. He knows what to do. He basically just told me what to do, and I did it. But I didn't know how to do any of this. I didn't know how to start my own business. I didn't know how to be vulnerable with strangers, photographing them nude. I didn't know how to. All of these things I learned. I learned myself and I continue to learn today. And I am at this point where there have been so many things that I look back on and I think, yeah, you fucking did that. You fucking did that. You fucking did that. And I'm sitting here today for what feels honestly like the first time in my entire life. Sitting here feeling proud about myself and everything that I have accomplished. And although I should have felt proud a long time ago, but when you're having those ups and downs in business and in life, it's hard, especially with that depression and anxiety telling you that you are worthless and you are not worthy of love, and you are not worthy of a life that is satisfying and fulfilling in any way. But those voices are gone. They're gone because I'm working through them, and they're gone because the physical manifestations and things that are tangible in my life, like a thriving career, a loving, loving journey of being on the road and life on the road. How can I not be proud of all of that? And although I still feel incredibly lonely at times, and up until recently, people in my life, friends, family, they sometimes continue to make that narrative that I had for so many years very present and still very real in my life. I know that I am strong and that I am growing, and that the decisions that I will make for myself moving forward are going to be for me. Because as much as I have already lived life trying to please others, trying to help others, and not focusing on my well-being and my emotions and my state of life and my mood and everything, I'm done putting myself second when it comes to that. And there was actually this really beautiful TikTok video that I saw recently, and this woman, she said this line that was so striking to me, and I think I'll probably remember it forever. And it's something that I've been re-saying to myself constantly, day in and day out, especially this last year, especially when I feel hurt and abandoned and not loved and not cared for by some people or just, you know, situations in my life. And she said, if it doesn't feel like love, I don't want it. And for someone who has never felt love in her entire life, I think that's got to be my new motto. If it doesn't feel like love, I don't want it. And my hope for myself and for my future is that the growth, the choices, the decisions, how I move through life from this day forward, it's only going to result and benefit me in a way that makes me feel seen, heard, and known. I don't even know if any of that made sense. But it just makes me feel love. Love for myself, love for my career, love for others, love for life. And above all, the willingness and the abilities and the capabilities that I will have moving forward to receive that love. Me being single forever is a result of me not being loved and not feeling loved. And although I still want to continue to be single, especially living in this van, I want one thing to be different, and that is for me to know and feel an insane amount of love. Love that is overfilling, love that is overflowing, love that is making up for decades and decades and decades. I want my future to be love. I want to be love, I want to feel love, I want to give love, and I want to know love. Yeah. I could probably sit here and talk so much more about my past and my history, and I know things will come up more so throughout episodes that I do solo by myself and episodes that I do with interviews with others. More of my life and my past and what has made me me today will be brought more to light. 44 minutes in, I want to try and keep this as concise as I can, but I guess this is a good reason why I am starting a podcast, because I do talk. I like to talk. I am a Gemini. Communication is my thing. I pretty much shied it away for so many years because I was scared and felt unworthy and all the things, but again, I wouldn't be where I'm at today had all those things never happened. And I want to use this platform to grow, to continue to grow, to evolve, not only within myself, but maybe to help others do so as well. And I want this podcast to be love. I want it to exude love. I want it to represent love. I want it to foster love. And I will think going forward with things in my life, personal things, business things, things related to this podcast. If it does not feel like love, I don't want it. I don't want it for myself. I don't want it for my business. I don't want it for this podcast. I don't want it for others who are listening. I want this to represent love in all ways possible. So if you have made it this far, thank you so much for making it this far. Thank you for holding that space with me, sharing my story and my pain and my past and how I feel today and my hopes and goals and dreams for the future. And I'm just so excited to get this going. I'm so excited to talk to people about the real things and what makes them them and what they're exploring in life and what they know to be true in their own life and just everything. I cannot tell you how happy and excited I am to get this journey going. And I'm really glad that you're here with me. Thank you guys so much for listening to my story and bearing with my vulnerability. And it's a lot to talk openly about things that have happened in your past. And I just appreciate you guys who made it through and who held space for me. And I just want to say thank you for being here and listening to my story. And again, I just want to make a special little shout out again to my friend Chelsea Marie Clark for the podcast artwork and my brother Christopher Kirscher for the music. It's really come together and I'm so excited for you guys to listen to the next episode, my first interview. I am looking forward to doing so many more interviews and yeah, we'll see you guys over at the next episode.